Today's daf is daf tzadi. We got to the very top line of it. And we have been discussing the concept of chachamim being oker davar min haTorah. And the last case we discussed was if a kohen had married a ketana, her father had died, so she only got married with her parents, or with her mother rather, mother and brother's consent. So it's only kedusha derabanan. So we wanted to know how is it possible. It's only kedushim derbanan. She's allowed to do all these various things like eating truma. So that's the very next case. The Gemara top of Tadi says v'ocheles begino truma. So it's one of the things that this ketana who's married only with derbanan, she's allowed to eat truma. How is that possible? So the Gemara on the top says the truma with derbanan. No, we're not talking about truma deraisa. We're talking about truma derbanan. What's truma derbanan? So Pashas is referring to a case that according to most Shishonim, that Chuma Derais is only the Gancha Tirosh Chavitzarcha, only those three items, grains, olives, and grapes. That's Chuma Deraisa. Anything else, Kol, other peros, and certainly Kol Yerek, all that's going to only be Chuma Midirabanam. So that's the only type of Chuma you're allowed to feed her. So they're not being okered up in the Torah at all. And that's how the Gemara gets out of this. Now the Gemara is going to discuss a Braisa, which is a little bit confusing. We saw this many, many months ago when we did Pesachim, the following Braisa, the same idea of Deraises and Derabanans. Toshma. Ochal truma tumea, mishalim chulin tahorim. So let's say somebody eats a non-kohen, a zar, eats truma tumea. He eats a kohen's truma tumea. He has to pay back to the kohen chulin tahorim. Regular chulin fruits, that's tahor. But let's say shilam chulin tumea. Let's say he pays back chulin, but they're actually tame. So then the halacha is sumchus omer mishum rabbi meir. Bishogeg tashumav tashumim. We've got to go slow here. We have to review this a few times. If he paid it bishogeg, he meant to give to chulin torim, but accidentally gave chulin tumein. So then b'di'eved, it's okay. The tashumim remains the same, says Rabbi Meir. But b'mezid, if he did it on purpose, I'm not paying that kohen chulin torim. I'm going to give him chulin tumein instead. If it's done b'mezid, says Rabbi Meir, ain tashumav tashumim. The tashumim doesn't work. Then the chachamim omrim. Whether done b'shogeg or done b'mezid, the loch is tashum of tashumim. What he paid him was a good payment. He stays in the hands of the kohen, but he still has to be chozer mishalim chulin tahorin. He has to still pay an additional chulin tahorin.
Meaning he ate truma b'shogeg. Meaning it was devil.
No, truma.
He separated truma and he ate from that.
He gave. Let's say he gave to the kohen truma. The kohen has the truma in his possession. And it was truma tumea. Truma tumea. Now, the kohen's not allowed to eat truma tumea. The kohen's allowed to burn truma tumea, but he can't eat the truma tumea. But he has truma tumea in his possession, and someone goes along and takes eats the truma. Now, it could be a kohen even takes it, but let's talk about a czar for a second. So a czar comes ahead and eats the truma of the kohen. So the halacha is he's supposed to pay back chulin to horin. That's the halacha. Sorry?
Not the same guy.
No, some other guy. It could have been the same guy, but someone who doesn't, it's not his. Someone else stole the guy's kohen, the kohen's shuma, who ate it. So the lach is he has to pay back chulin tahoron in the place. But instead, the guy pays him back chulin tumei. So the question becomes, is that a good payment or not? Right, Meir says, it was done b'shogeg, it's a good payment, and let everything remain the same. The kohen got value back, he got chulin instead, he's allowed to use the chulin to eat. But if he gave him chulin, but if he did b'mezid, says Rabbi Meir, he's not allowed to. The tashlumim is not a good tashlumim. And chachamim say, I don't care if it was shogeg or mezid. Either way, it was going to be a good tashlumim. But he still, meaning what he paid, the chulin tamein stays in the possession of the kohen. But he has to go ahead and give additional chulin to horim. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Now the Gemara's in Pesachim talk about if it's mammon, why chulin torin, chulin tamim. The Gemara doesn't get into that here, and the Rashi doesn't explain too much either about all this background, but that's the basic structure of this debate. So in light of this, the Gemara says, v'havinan ba, b'mezid, ein tashlum of tashlumim. When it comes to Rabbi Meir, if the guy b'mezid said, I'm not paying that kohen chulin torin, I'm going to give him chulin tamim. So Rabbi Meir says it's not good. So Gemara says, why not? Tavol Abracha. He should be blessed. It's a very good thing that the guy paid him back chulin tumeim. Why? The acha mine mide de lo kechazile b'mi tumaso. The komishale mide de kechazile b'mi tumaso. Because let's say I stole from the kohen. The kohen has chuma tumea. The chuma tumea, the kohen's not allowed to eat. He can only use it as fire. To fuel this fire, firewood. So I go ahead and I eat it. And now I replace it with chul and tamayim. So what's the difference now? Before, all the chul and tamayim was to him was just wood. Now by giving chul and tamayim, it's chul and tamayim. So now by me giving back chul and tamayim, he's allowed to eat this chul and tamayim. So he's getting something better. Chul and tamayim he's not allowed to eat. For all intents and purposes, it's only there for the purpose of firewood. Even though it's edible, he's not allowed to. It's usher to use it. I ate it because it is edible, but the kohen was only allowed to use it as wood. I replaced it with chulun tamayim. He's allowed to eat chulun tamayim. So I actually did something better for him. Okay, I'm supposed to give him chulun torum. Okay. So instead I gave him chulun tamayim. But it's still better than what he had beforehand. So why is that not a good truma? Why do we say it goes back to me? I got to pay him back chulun torum. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara says, and v'amar Rava, v'amri like kidei, Kidi, it's a person's name, one of the Rabbanim's name. Then Chasur Mech, so there's something missing here in the discussion. V'hachi Katani. Ochal Tshuma Tumeya, let's say I ate Tshuma Tumeya from the Kohen. Misham Koldu. I have to pay back any amount. Afilu Rashi, Afilu Chulun Tumeyim. I can pay back anything I want to him. You're right. Because he had Tshuma Tumeya, which is basically worthless for him. It's just wood. I give him back Chulun Tumeyim or Chulun Torim. He's allowed to eat it now. He's getting more benefit. It's a good payment. But achal truma tahora, that was the discussion. That was the mistake in the previous brisa. If I ate a truma tahora, which the kohen could have otherwise eaten, then the halacha is I've got to pay him back mishalim chulun torim. I've got to pay him back chulun torim. It's the same. I ate Torah, I got to pay back tahorim. Now I can't pay him back a truma. I can't use truma to pay. If I have my own farm and I separate truma, I can't use truma to pay someone back a damage. I've got to give it to a kohen. That's why you have to give chulun. But it's chulun tahorim I give him because that equals what I ate. It was truma tahora. I'm paying him back chulun tahorim. But let's say the debate was: let's say chilem chulun tameim. Let's say I fed him. I paid him back rather chulun tameim instead. That was the machlokas that according to Sumchus Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir b'shogeg tashum of tashumim. If accidentally I gave him the chulun tameim, then it's a good tashumim. Everything's done. But b'meiz if I intentionally gave him the tumah. Ain tashuma. Tashuma, it's not a good chuma. It's not a good payment. The chacham omrim bein b'shogeg bein b'meiz. I don't care whether he did this on purpose or not. It is a good tashlumim. Tashuma of tashlumim, but still the chozer u'mishalim chulin v'torin. I still have to pay back an additional chulin torin. So that's the new discussion. Okay. So the Gemara says on this line v'ha'hacha, but here d'midaraisa tashlumei ma'al yahave. That really midiraisa, if I give him a chulun tumeim, it's a good payment. Okay. And right, what's the problem? D'imakadesh b'ha kohen isha tafsala kedushin. And if the kohen received this, again, the case being, if I ate the chuma tumeim, and I've been mazed, pay back chulun tumeim, midiraisa, that's a good payment. That's a good payment, midiraisa. But the Chum said, "Bemezer." Meir says, "Bemezer." It's not a good tashlumim. It goes back to the farmer or the guy who stole. Okay. So what? Let's say. What? No, we're going with the Meir now, aren't we?
Yeah, but both said if it's in mezit, tashlumim is not tashlumim.
No. Chum said bemezer is a good tashlumim. If you just have to pay more, also. Right. According to Meir, it goes back to me. I pay him the kohen, the truma tamei, goes back to me. Now let's say, I'll speak this outside for a second, let's say I gave it to him, and then the kohen goes ahead and takes his money, this food, and marries a woman with it. It's a good kedushim because it's his money, he marries, but the chum say, nope, it's not a good tashumim, give me back the truma tamei, the chulun tamei I gave him. So they're going to be okay, that kedushim that just happened because it was never the kohen's money in the first place. How is that allowed? Midrash say it is, once I give him the chulun tamei, it's his. And he gets married with a woman, how could the Chum say, nope, it's not yours, take that back, the marriage is no good, give it back to me. That's Oker Davar Min HaTorah, so let's see that inside. Again, V'ha Hacha here, the Midraisa Tashumei, Mal Yahavi, really, the Chulun Tameim is a good payment. The Makadish Bu Kohen, if the Kohen, when receiving the Chulun Tameim, gets married to an Isha, Tafsla Kedushin, it's a good Kedushin. So how could the Amu Rabbanan Ein Tashum of Tashumim? How could the Chacham come along and take back that Chulun Tameim and say it's not a good payment? The Kasharin and Eishes Ishlam, and they're basically saying that woman who was once married is no longer married. But why not? Midrash, it's a good payment. Midrash, it's a good kedushin. How could it be oker davar min haTorah? So says the Gemara, my ein tashluma of tashlumim. What does it mean? It wasn't a good payment. That when I gave him the chulin tameim, it was not a good payment. The Kama Rebbe Meir. It means to buy the meheder shlumi chulin toren. It means no, he keeps the money. The coin. I have to just pay him more chulin toren. No one ever said it goes back to me. It just said it wasn't a good payment, meaning I didn't fulfill my obligation. I got to still give a chulin toren. But ein echanami, the coin keeps the money. It's his, and he can get married to a coin, to a nisha rather. I said, wait a second. If you're telling me there a mayor holds ein tashlum of tashlum means that he keeps it, I have got to pay additional chulin toren. Yihachi sumchis haini rabbanan. They're saying the same thing. That's exactly what the rabbanan said. The rabbanan says it's a good tashlumim. You just have to pay more. So what's the difference now? So amar of acha bered the rav ika kansu shogeg atu mezid ika benad. The nafkamina is: are we going to kones a shogeg because of the mezid case? According to the chachamim, also when done with shogeg, you have to pay additional chulin torim. But according to Sumchas and Rav Meir, you don't have to pay for the case of Shogeg. Only for the case of Mezid, when you give the payment, he keeps it, and you have to give additional Chulin Torim. But if you paid B'Shogeg, says Rabbi Meir and Sumchas, what you gave him was good, and that's it, you're done. Chacham said, even in the case of Shogeg, you still have to pay additional Chulin Torim, Atu, lest it lead you to a case of Mezid. Okay, got through that. Not too bad. There is an interesting Tosos here. Look at the Tosos Dibur Maskel of the Ocheles Begino Truma Truma Dirban. This is what they said before that we presented the Brisa. When the girl is allowed to eat the Truma, it's referring to a Truma Midirabanan. Because Midiraisa is not really married, so there's no right to give her Truma Diraisas.
Who is not really married?
The Katana. Because her father wasn't alive, so she only got married by her mother or her brothers. And that Kedushin is only a Dirabanan Kedushin. So since she's not really married Midiraisa to the Kohen, she's not allowed to eat Truma Midiraisa. But Truma Midirabanan, since they're married Midirabanan, she could eat Truma Midirabanan. So Tosa says, below by the Okmi, you don't need to say it's a case of Afil B'Truma Midiraisa. What Tosa is saying, maybe really you could say that she's allowed to eat Truma Midiraisa. Why? Umishum the Katan Ochel Nevelasu. Because there's a concept that Katan is allowed to eat Nevelos. If they eat it on their own, you don't, as long as you don't feed it to them, they're allowed to eat it on their own. Dehab Ba'ayhai Perka Chairish. We're going to see this later on in a few weeks from today. Ibase Din mitzuvin lafrisha olo. There's a question: does Beis Din have to separate a katan from violating an aveira? They see a katan's eating nevelos. Is there an obligation to separate them? You certainly cannot give them nevelos to eat. There's a first pasuk that we learn out: you cannot feed them. But let's say on their own they're eating nevelos. Do you have to stop them or not? The Gemara has a shaila. Lo ifshutei. The Gemara never gives an answer. So maybe one could have said she's allowed to eat shumim deraisa. Just don't give it to her, but she could take it. But the Gemara says not so clear. It's not so clear that you could allow them to eat Truma on their own. So it's not a case of Truma Mediraisa. V'od, moreover, docheles begino mashma dafilu kigala ocheles mikach zeb. The lashon of ocheles begino sounds like she could continue to eat even when she gets older. She could continue to eat. Apisha dain labal. Okay, so for these reasons, it can't be a situation of Truma Mediraisa. Now, this next tosis is more interesting. Tosis dibur maschil ochel b'truma tumei mishalim. When a person eats the Kohen's Truma, he has to pay back chulin torim. So, b'truma lo shayach lepoto b'shim dekim leb de rabbi mine. Kim leb de rabbi mine is a klal. The Gemara is all over, but it's really the third parak of Ksubis. We'll see this in the next Masechta. The person violates an avera that has a misa to it and a chiv mamon. Let's say the classic case, the Gemara says, guy shoots an arrow on Shabbos. In shooting the arrow, he rips the guy's shirt and kills the guy at the same time. So he has to pay back for the ripped shirt and he gets a chiv misa. Well, I guess for two things. I forget Shabbos. Yeah. Forget Shabbos right now. He rips the guy's shirt, he's mazik the guy's mamon, and he kills the guy. There's a chiv misa, he gets punished for killing, and he also has to pay the money for ripping the shirt. So the Gemara says, it's a klal based on psukim, kedei risha, so you only give one risha, that you only pay the greater of the punishments. He gets misa, he doesn't have to pay the mamon. That's the klal, kimei with the rabbi minei, you always go for the greater onish. Here too also, a zar goes ahead and eats the kohen's shuma. A zar is chayiv misa, if I eat shuma, I'm chayiv misa. So if I eat the chuma, I shouldn't have to pay anything back. So what's the case talking about here that you have to pay anything back? Every time you eat chuma, you're chai misa. The chai misa should get rid of pata you from the money. Says Tosos, again, the chuma lo shayach lepotro mishum dekim lev de rabbi minei. There is no exemption by chuma. Afilu labaye de isla, even according to Abaye, who holds of this, let's jump down a few lines. I don't want to get confused with Abaye right now. A few lines down, the shiny chuma, he says, this is five lines down. The shiny chuma. Chuma is different. The gully krab ahead of Yosef Chamishu Sa'alav. There's a Mefurish pasuk that says, even though a zar who eats chuma gets chai misa, the Mefurish Pasuk says he also has to pay mamon. Chuma is an exception to the klal of kimle with the rabbi mine. That's answer one. You have to pay money even though a person might be chai misa. Answer number two is very interesting also. V'od amar Reb Yitzchak de tashlumim de chuma l'kapara ka'asuv lo shayach kimle with the rabbi mine. What he's saying is the only time a chai misa exempts a person from money is if the money is meant to pay back for damage. The money in the case of Chuma is not meant to pay back to the Kohen the damage. It's meant to serve as a kapara for the person who violates it. So in that case, cumulative Rabbi Nehemi does not pater you from the money. It's only if the money is a tashlumim does it pater you. But if the money serves as a kapara for the person, he needs that kapara, so we don't take away that kapara from him. He still pays it even though he's chayv b'misa. Okay. Back to the Gemara now. Three narrow lines up. Tashma. The Gemara quotes... four lines up. Three lines up. Tashma. Dam shenitma, let's say by a kudshim, by karbanos, dam becomes tame. Vizarku, and then he throws it anyways onto the mizbech. He uses the blood, even though the dam became tame. He sprinkled it on the mizbech. Bishogig, if he did it accidentally, the lach is hurtza, whatever kapar was needed, was going to be, it's a good hurtza. It's a good karban. B'meiz, let's say he said, I know this is tummy anyways, and I'm going to zarek it anyways. Lo hurta, it doesn't work. So v'ha hacha de midraisa artsu mitzare. But what do you mean, midraisa? Even b'meiz, it's going to be a good ritzui, as we'll see in a second. How could the chacham come along and say, nope, if he did it b'meiz, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be hurta. Midraisa, it's clearly hurta. How could they be okay this davar min haTorah? How do we know that when it's tummy? It's a guy zorik dam shenitma. It's going to be hurtza. The Tani, the Brisa says, al maha hatzitz merat. The tzitz that a Kohen Gadol would wear on his head or across his forehead. That's a tzitz. It says kodesh l'Hashem on it. So how do we know the tzitz was mechaper on tuma? On what type of tuma is the tzitz merata? Al hadam v'al habaser v'al achelav, different parts of the animal shenitma that became tamei. Bein b'shogig, bein b'mezid, bein b'onis, bein b'ratzim, bein b'yachim, bein b'tzibur, any type of way it became tamei, the tzitz is going to be meratza. So how could the Chacham come along and say, v'amri rabbanon lo hurtza? Chacham say, nope, it's not good. So if it's not good, what does that mean? V'kahadr ma'il chulun lazara, that means I've got to bring another carbon. And if I bring a carbon, so really what happens, I violate a chathas. I ate chelev, let's say. I ate chelev, chelev's chayv karis. I ate b'shogig, I didn't know this was chelev. I need to bring a carbon chathas. I bring the carbon chatas to the Beis HaMikdash, and the shech's the animal, and somehow the sheretz falls into the dam. The dam is now tamer. Loch is, you're not allowed to throw on the mizbech. But if you did throw... What?
The Kohen saw the sheretz first.
He knows his tamer. He says, you know what? I don't want to shech another cow. I'm already tired of the day. It's been long. I'm going to take this dam and sprinkle it onto the mizbech anyways. He goes ahead and does that. Says the Gemara that it's a good sprinkling because it sits merata. But then the Chacham came along and said, nope. It's not. We're not going to allow it to be good. If we did b'mezid, it's not going to be good. Redo it. I really got my kapara already happened. Once he did the zrikas dam, I'm mechaper. That means I got to bring another cow. For what? The cow, you can't bring a cow if there's no chatas to bring on. I'm already mechaper. So I bring a chatas, an animal, which is supposedly a chatas, but it's really a chulin because I'm not chayva an avera anymore. I bring it to Mizbeah, to the base of Migdash. It's an iser deraisa of chulin lazar. You can't bring a non-Kodesh animal. So how do you allow for this? That's the question. How can it be Oka Davar Min HaTorah, says the Gemara. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Mai Lo Hurtza. What does it mean Lo Hurtza? The Kamar Lehater Baser Be'achila V'abaylam Niskapru. Not to say that he wasn't Mechaper. He was Mechaper. And we don't make him bring another carbon. He's done. All it means is there's no Heter to eat the Baser Be'achila. The Halachas are by carbon chatas that you shech the animal and you separate the blood and some of the parts go on the Mizbech and some of the parts go back to the Kohen to eat. So we say the Kohen's not allowed to eat it. He's penalized. He doesn't eat. Bein Echanami, from the perspective of the Baal, the guy who violated the Veira, who brought the carbon, he's Mechaper, and we don't make him bring back another carbon. Bein Echanami, we're not being Oker Davar Min HaTorah. We're just saying you're not allowed to eat the Baser anymore. I said, wait a second. Eating the Baser is pretty important. Sof, Kimis Akri Echiz Baser. You're being Oker the Mitzvah Derais of eating the Baser. V'ksiv V'achlu Altem Asher Kapar Behem. Milamed Sha Kohanim Ochlin V'Balam Miskaprim. The mitzvah deraisa that the Baal gets the kapara while the Kohen is eating it. How can you be okir davar min haTorah? You're being okir mitzvah of eating the karban chatas. So Gemara says a very important klal, Amar Lei Shev V'Altase Shaini. Says Rashi in the bottom of Sadi Amar Aleph, Shev V'Altase Olav Akiri. Sitting back doing nothing is not considered an akira. Kigon Achiz Baser Asehu. eating meat is a asay. It's an action. Vamar rabbanan sheviata, sit back and don't do anything. Lava kira biyadayim. Who? That's not in an uprooting with your hands, a proactive uprooting. Ela mimela himakri, just by you not eating, mimela you missed out on the mitzvah. But it was, you weren't being ochre something proactively. Aval chuma dekamer lo asav lokum umafkas lo lechulin akir mamashi. But by chuma we have to retake the chulin and give more. That's a, you're actively doing something. So the clause is as follows. Chacham are able to be ochre davar min haTorah v'shevi al tasif. That means saying, sit back, don't do anything, let nature take its course, or let the world know everything move on, that's okay. But to tell you to actively do something against the Torah, to be ochre be a dime, that's a problem. But v'shevi al tasif is okay. The,
He did b'mezid the hazaa, and the man that sits is memeratzeh. With that. They're saying, don't eat the meat, part of the meat that you're supposed to.
Right.
But the Torah says specifically,
right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is Shev ve'al tase shani?
We're telling them that Chum are allowed to be Oker a mitzvah. If
not
it's
to do a mitzvah.
They're allowed to do it if it means with, not an action, meaning Shev ve'al tase, sit back and don't do anything. That's allowed to avoid doing a mitzvah, that's okay. To sit back and do nothing. We can't tell them to go ahead and actively do something against the Torah.
So it's not avar mitzvah.
Exactly.
It's just shev ve'al tase.
Yeah. Sit back and don't do it. Keep your hands tied.
What's the title for that?
Kum v'yaseh versus shev ve'al tase. Kum v'yaseh is get up and do something.
No, meaning it's not avatel mitzvah. Sheyesh lo la'asot ve'lo asota. That's what's how do you define that? A guy had an opportunity to do a mitzvah and he didn't do a mitzvah. Sounds like here.
But there's a shevi al tase. If a person just sits and does nothing, so then that's permitted to be ochre a mitzvah. But to say to ochre a mitzvah, to do something active, we'll see cases in a moment, to do something active, to go ahead and...
Yeah, that's how we posek.
Yeah.
So if I have an opportunity to do a mitzvah and I'm not doing it proactively, so I'm good.
No. In general, a person sits and misses a mitzvah, he misses a mitzvah. It's mevatel mitzvah deraisa. You miss out the opportunity.
Mevatel mitzvah, okay.
But here, it's a chamim. The chamim are able to do this type of akira if it's a shevi al tase. You can't do this on your own. You can't shevi al tase not do... No, you miss out on a mitzvah. Chamim are allowed to say, don't do a mitzvah with the shevi al tase. We can listen to the chamim in that case. But for you to say that, that you can't do. Now that Kamara says on the top of Tadim and Beis, Amar Lei... By Lao Sivcha, I wanted to ask you more questions, and we'll go to each of them in a second. Ariel, Hazah, Izemel, Sadim, Betitis, Kipsay, Ataris, Shofar, Lulav. I had a whole list of questions I wanted to bombard you with. But Hashid, the Shanish Lan, Shevi Altasa. Now that you answered Shevi Altasa, Lo Makar, it's not going to be considered an Akira. Kulanami, Shevi Altasa. All my other questions are going to be answered with this klal of Shevi Altasa. So, what are all these cases I wanted to ask you? So, the Gemara says that Rashi rather explains as follows. Let's go one by one. Rashi says, Ariel. I want the Rashi two lines down from the top. Ariel, see Rashi two lines.
Yeah.
Ariel, he says, "Damar b'psachim daf tadi beizam and aleph, haporish mina arla, kiporish mina kever." Somebody who just received the bris milah, an adult, or a gesh and his gayer, erev Pesach, ein shochtin aleph. They don't shecht for them. If it happens erev Pesach, we view them as the halachas of dinei tuma for whatever reason that is. That means they have to wait all the 7 days and huzzah and everything. So if they get the mal, they get the bris milah on Erev Pesach, we don't shecht for them because they're tamei. V'amarer begemar taima. What's the reasoning? The base hillel. Gzer shema yitma l'shana haba v'chulei b'perek aisha. They're going to say that last year we just became Jewish and we were tamei, and they let us shecht Erev Pesach. So now this year, where he's a Jew, full Jew now, says I'm tamei tumas. Mace. So I could also shecht Erev Pesach. They're not going to know there's a difference. That last year they weren't Jewish when they were Tameh. So even though they touched a Tumas Mace before they became Jewish, now they're converted, they're completely Tahor. So they're not going to realize there's a difference. They're going to think, oh, last year's Tameh, I touched a Mace before I became Jewish. So I only have to wait one day here too also. For that confusion. Alma, Mishum, Gzeira, Derabanim, Mevalin, Erev Pesach. Midiraisa, this Ger who became a Ger on Erev Pesach, Schaif in Karim Pesach. We're saying you can't bring a Karim Pesach this year. How could they say that? But they say the reason being because of Shevi al tase. They didn't say do an act, don't be proactive and do something wrong. They said just sit back and don't bring a carbon. That's okay. But Shevi al tase, they could okay a davar min haTorah. Next case, Rashi says, Hazah. What was the question from Hazah? Hazah is a shvus. Hazah is when you sprinkle the mechatas of the paraduma on somebody, make them tahor. They do what's called Hazah. It's a shvus. I mean, there's no malacha in Val Gzuntai. There's no malacha in sprinkling water on a person. But it's a shvus because it looks like tikkun mana. You're fixing the person. You're being matar the person. It's a shvus, which is only iser midirbanan. V'les ala b'shabbos. We don't do this on Shabbos. Ela iser midirbanan. V'medes b'fnei ha-pesach m'vat laso. So let's say you do the calculations. You're supposed to sprinkle on day 3 and day 7 when a person becomes tumas meis. You count 3 days, you sprinkle some mechatas. You count another 4 days on day 7, you give him enough more mechatas. Let's say it turns out that he became tamei and it's 7 days later is Pesach. And Shabbos is in the way. And you can't sprinkle on the day of Shabbos. That's it, he loses out. He's not tar. Why not? Why don't you say, how could the Chum come along and say, you can't sprinkle on Shabbos? There's no problem with the rice of sprinkling on Shabbos. With the rice, there's no problem. But the Chum created a shvus. It's asr midrabanan. So Chum said, you're not allowed to get sprinkled today because it's Shabbos. With the Rabban, you can't. That means you're missing out on the mitzvah of the rice of bringing the Karban Pesach. In Echonami, they did that because Shevi Atase said, sit back and don't bring the Karban Pesach this year. Shevi Atase, they're allowed to be Oker Dever Minatara. What's the next case? Izemel. Rashi, the case of Izemel is, Legave Mila, regarding Mila, Amar Rabbanan, Ein Mavin Oso Derech Gagus V'Karfifos, V'Otsadi Dei Merderban V'Nikar Mil U'Mikr Mila Mizmano. The law is, you're not allowed to carry outside a Izema, which was the knife that was used to cut the Bris Mila. So they're not allowed to carry that. But even, you can't even go on the rooftops. Let's say all the rooftops are all connected, they're jumping from roof to roof to roof to get to the base Knesses. That's only an Isser Merderbanan to carry there. The Chum said you can't carry that. Even for the purpose of Bris Mila, you can't carry this Izemel on an Isser Midrabanan. Why? They're being oked the mitzvah deraisa of Bris Mila on Shabbos. So here too also, Shevi Atas, you say, sit back and don't do the Bris Mila today. That's okay. In the next case, Sadin Mitzitis. What's this talking about? The Midrasa Shari Dichsev Lo Seba Shatnez. They're not allowed to, Midrasa, you're allowed to, Avagdilim Taselcha, you're allowed to make linen and wool. You could tie them together for Tzitzis when you have Tchelis. You're allowed to tie them together. About Ksus Laila Shapater, sorry, Vigazi Rabbanu Mishum Ksus Laila Shapater Minat Tzitzis Havei Klaim Shlom Makom Mitzvah. They said since a sadin is like a sheet. So they said since you have a sheet now, you might use the sheet at nighttime. At nighttime, you're pater from Tzitzis. What's going to happen is I have this sheet that I might a cloak or something I wear over. I could cloak myself in this little sheet or blanket. I put some Tzitzis on it. It has 4 corners. I could even use shatnez on it. The pasuk says. Chum says, don't put the tzitzis on these begadim, because I might end up sleeping in it that night. At nighttime, there's no mitzvah tzitzis anymore. And it turns out I'm wearing shatnez on me, because there's no mitzvah anymore. The mitzvah removes itself. So Chum said, don't put shatnez tzitzis on this tzadin, and you're being okay, the mitzvah tzitzis midiraisa.
So at nighttime, you can go without tzitzit?
No, it's a little more complicated. Not complicated, but no, you have to wear tzitzis at nighttime. Machlok is exactly what it means. At nighttime, or does it mean a beggar that's miyucha, like pajamas or a blanket? Would that be that the clothing is a nighttime clothing, but if you're wearing a daytime clothing like tzitzis, at nighttime you would still have to wear it. That's machlokas Rambam Rush. Or maybe it means maybe really at nighttime you're pata, you could take off your tzitzis at nighttime. We say you should always wear your tzitzis. Then the next case, the Gemara Rashi explains the kivse at seres is what lo kibalti mir bosai. I don't have a kabbalah for my rebbe. Says Rashi, what this means. But mikomakom kach near beinai, it seems to me the following: the kasher davar sheshanu b'toseftu ma'isul b'maseches beitzah b'gemara perksheni kifse ateres, the sheep that are brought on ateres on Shavuos sheshacht and shelo lishman, you shech them without the proper lishma. Hadam yizrak, you should sprinkle the blood v'abaser yochan, you're allowed to eat the meat. The chalas vachem shenizbechu shelo lishman ksheir, and any zevach that shechted it without lishma el shelo alul b'alim, it works, but it doesn't fulfill the chi of the baal, but it's still a good zevach. The shame mechova, it didn't fulfill its obligation of harein kishal mendalma. Vim ha'isa Shabbos shechal ateres b'Shabbos. Let's say Shavuos falls out on Shabbos. V'nisa Shabbos lidachos etz lishman, and you're allowed to be docha Shabbos to shech the carbon for the lishma of the ateres. V'tozev v'shagig shlo lishman, but accidentally the coin shechted it shlo lishman. Lo yizrok, there you can't do sprinkling. Vim zar karutz v'chulei. The hadahach the zrika b'Shabbos Shavuos ba'amahu. So you shouldn't sprinkle the blood on this because it's an Isser Shavuos and there's no mitzvah anymore. Because there's a Shavuos of being zerk this blood, you're being okir all the other Davar Minatoras here, the eating of the blood, the eating of the basar and the sprinkling of blood.
Shevyatase Shani. Also here too. Also this case is a situation of Shevyatase. And the last three cases of Shofar and Lulav, these are mitzvah ases, where Chum say you can't blow them on Shabbos. Why can't you blow Shofar on Shabbos? Because it's a gzera, you might end up carrying it outside. That's a gzera. How could the Chum say you can't blow on Shofar? You're being okay, Davar Min HaTorah. Here too also it's Shevyatase. By them saying just sit back and don't do anything, that's permitted. But they'll never say actively do something to be ochre. It's only shevi atase, and that really answers all the shilas of the Gemara. Okay. We have time for Tosos. Let's do a Tosos. I think the rest of the Gemara goes pretty quickly. So the Tosos on the top says, interesting shila here. Kulu nami shevi atasehu. All the cases that he wanted to ask, we're all going to be answered by Shevi Atase. If Im Tomar says Tosos on the top.
So which one?
Top one. Im Tomar, Sadin Betzitis, Heichi Havi Shevi Atase. So how is it possible that the sheet with Tzitis is a Shevi Atase? Dechi Mechase Betalis Debas Chiyuvahi, Ve'ein Betzitis Harei Over B'Yadayim. When you place this sheet, this blanket over yourself, without Tzitis, you are actively violating an Isser by you not wearing Tzitis. That's not Shevi Atase. Shevi Atase is not blowing shofar. Not shaking the loaf. But here, I'm placing the blanket on me, the sadin on me, the sheet on me, and there's no tzitzis. That's a biyadayin. That's not shevi atase. So says Tosos, v'yesh lomar, d'b'shas ituf akati l'mchayiv ad achar shenitzatif. The moment you're doing the atifa, there's no chiv yet. The chiv of tzitzis exists while you are wearing, not when you're putting it on, but while you're wearing it. The kesuscha mashma shata mechusaba kavar, when you've already been covered by it, now the mitzvah exists. But after you place it on, when the mitzvah exists, now it's just on you, you're not doing anything active anymore. It's just on you. So that's Shevi Al Tase. Interesting Tosos. Then he says, Im Tomer, if you look at the Gemara Perek Mishamesu, the Gemara Brachos Davchav, Mashma Keshu Lavish Kalai, when a person wears shatnez, vein potion, and you don't remove it, lo tashiv. When it comes to kalayim, though, we're comparing kalayim to tzitzis. When it comes to kalayim, the halacha is a person's walking the shuk, and you notice he's wearing shatnez begadim. It's a deraisa. You'll have to remove the begadim from him. Even though he's going to have nothing to wear, you'll have to remove them because it's a deraisa. So how is it possible? But why there? Why don't you say shevi al tase? He didn't do any action. He's putting it on. It's not an action. Let him just get home first. So we're obviously assuming the Gemara there, by him constantly wearing it, that's a continued kum v'yasei. He's constantly, actively wearing the begadim.
But tzitzit is not shatness.
It's not. Well, it's not shatness. Exactly. Not shatness. It's wearing a four-cornered beged without tzitzit is a bitul asei.
No, but tzitzit itself, it's not shatness, is it?
Now, midaraisa, if you have techeles, you're allowed to have shatness. You could have wool and linen together. We don't have techeles, but is that? We know if we have techeles. That they think is. There's good reason to think, but no one's going to ever say you could wear shatnez bizman hazeh, because no one really knows. There's a lot of good indications that it
so
is correct.
So if there's chelet, you're allowed to wear shatnez in the tzitzit.
Exactly.
If there's not chelet, you're not allowed.
Exactly.
So
right now, yeah.
This is chelet, then, or it's not chelet.
So again, yeah, some poskim think it is, some poskim think it might be, some think it's not. Mm-hmm. So the question, yeah, it's another topic. So either way, when it comes to wearing clothing, is wearing clothing considered shevi atase? It's a passive act. Once I put it on, I'm just walking. I'm not doing anything. Or is it viewed as a constant wearing? You're constantly putting it on yourself, if you will. So when it came to tzitzit, as we said before, wearing sadin, wearing a sheet, is not considered a kum v'yaseh. It's considered shevi atase. Therefore, it's okay to wear non-tzitzit beged. But here, by the case of klayim, by wearing shatnez, not tzitzit, by shatnez, we are viewing the wearing of shatnez as a constant violation of the Isser. It's viewed as a kum v'yaseh. It's not viewed as a passive act. It's viewed as a proactive act. So why is there a difference between wearing tzitzis versus wearing shatnez? So answers tell us, v'yomari, the shiny klaim is different. The ikar ha'isser b'shas levisha shalavish b'isser. So there the Isser klaim is wearing it. The act of wearing is Isser klaim. Ava kan lo mischaiv ad acher shenisatev k'depishus. But here, there, but he's not explaining so much, but by the case of
the sadin.
Of the sadin, it's not wearing, it's being wrapped in it.
Until
so some,
it's been wrapped.
There's no chiv until you've wrapped in it. So the eat of itself, the covering itself is not the mitzvah. It's after you've wrapped yourself, then there's a mitzvah. So it doesn't explain so much, but I think what he's trying to say is that The it's having it on you is a mitzvah by tzitzis, but by kalayim it's the moment of putting it on you. The shas levisha is the iser by shatnez, but by the tzitzis it's the acharnis itif, the after of the maisa is when it is. I'm not quite sure the difference. It needs to be elaborated on a little bit more, I think. Okay. Back to the Gemara now, four lines down. The Gemara says, Tashma, Elav Tishma'un. So to him you should listen to. What's this referring to? So Rashi tells us, much lower down here, Elav Tashma'un, Benavi Emes Kasav. When Navi Emes tells you to do something, you must listen to him. So Gemara explains, Elav Tishma'un, Afilu Omer Lecha Avril Achaz Mikol Mitzvah Sheba Torah. Even if he tells you to violate a mitzvah, you must listen to him. Kagon Eliyahu Bahar Carmel. Hakol Fisha, he allowed them to create bummos. After the issue of bummos was having a personal mizbech in a person's backyard. After the 14 years of conquering Eretz Yisrael, bummos became usur. So how was Eliyahu, during his time, he was much later than the destruction, the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, bummos were usur by that time. How did he permit the bummos? Because there's a, because when a Navi says something, they're allowed to, you have to listen to them. So the Gemara says further, again, Akol Lefisha Shamalo. So how could Eliyahu Navi, who's only the Din of Chachamim, be Oker the Issa Midrash of Bamos? Shai Nihasim Dechsiv Elav Tishmun. There's a pasuk that says that empowers him, that charges a Navi with the ability to do that. Elav Tishmun. If he tells you to do something, it's part of that's a Din Deraisa. It's a Deraisa being Oker another Din Deraisa. It's not a Din Rabbanim. It's a Torah saying, listen to a Navi. So whatever the Navi says is the same status as the Deraisa. He says, go against the Torah. That's a Torah against going against the Torah, and therefore it's okay. So then the Gemara says, wait a second. So if that's the case, well, Ligmar Mine, let's learn from him that other Chachamim also are able to Oker Dover Minotaur, just like Eliyahu Navi was able to. Maybe Chachamim in general is the question, I guess. Right, so we're trying to say, oh, we have to, there's a bit of a jump here, though. Tosis is going to address this, but how are we jumping from a Navi to a Chacham? They're very different. A Navi, I understand the positive, he loved Tishmun, listen to a Navi Emes. But why is the Gemara suggesting V'ligmar Minei, also maybe a Chacham should have the same ability to also be Oker Dover Min HaTorah? So the Gemara says, you're right, but Migdar Milsa Shaini. Rashi explained, Migdar Milsa Shaini, La'asos Geder V'tekana Kiyasam She'ashivan Ha'idei Kein Me'vodis Chachavim. The case of Eliyahu Novi is a very, very different case. He had to create this protection, this fence, because of the dangers of Avodah Zarah. That was a very special exception. But not to make the klal in general, that a Navi or Chacham, listen to anything he says, going against the Torah, that was a very, very special exception there. Now, the case of Navi and Chacham is a very fascinating jump. I'm not sure if we'll have time for this in Tosfos
here. They don't developed.
Yeah, I'm surprised also, right. There is concepts that nowadays are no longer Nevi'im, but there's Chachamim. And to a certain extent, Chachamim are greater than Nevi'im, the Gemara in Bava Basra talks about this in him. So maybe that's part of the jump here. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, there's interesting Tosos here, but I'm not sure if we're going to have time for this. So let's go weiter. The Gemara says, Tashma, Bitlu Mivotol Divrei Rebbe, and Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Einu Yachal Lo Levat Lo Lo Hosef Al Tanao. So what's this referring to? It's referring to a person sends a get to his wife. He sent a messenger to Shlichus for a get to his wife. And then he said, you know what? I don't want to get divorced anymore. So he sent another Shliach to catch up to the Shliach, or he sent a Shliach to the wife before it gets there and says, the get that I'm sending you is Bato. So the lach is that's a good, it's Mavato the get. But you need some background here. If you look at Rashi, Bitlu, it's around 10 narrow lines up. Rashi explains Bitlu. Baal sheshalach get liishto. He sent a get to his wife. V'kadam uba eslo, o shalach la shliach. And he sent another shliach. V'amala get sheshalach tidacha batel hu hareze batel. If he sent a shliach who's faster than the first shliach, catches up and says, by the way, what you're about to receive, that get's batel. That's a good bitel. V'tznan, the Mishnah in Gittin says, daf lamed beis, berishon initially haya osa basin v'makom acher mevatlo. Initially he said, you're allowed to go to basin, even though the basin might be far away from where the wife is. You'll have to go there and say, by the way, the get that I'm sending on the way, I want it to be bato. You'll have to do that. V'lohaya modila, and they wouldn't let the woman know. His skin, what's the problem? So she's going to think she's divorced. She's going to receive the get, never knowing that was bato. She's thinking she's single, and she goes and gets married, but when in fact she's an ish. So therefore, the Rashi explains, his skin le'ragam li'al, his zakin, shaloha yu osin, kain mipnei tikkun olam. He said, you're not allowed to do this anymore. Because what's going to happen, like we just explained, is the Zimnin Dimvatel Veloyada. She's not going to know his batel. Vinsava, she's going to get married. The children from the second marriage are going to be mamzerim because she's really an Eshish Ish.
Makes
sense. So then, what came, let's say after the Tekan of Rabban Gamliel, let's say the person did it anyways. He went to the basin anyways and said, I'm Vatel the get. Is it going to be good? So according
without
to...
Shaliach.
What? Without Shliach, exactly. So then that's the Gemara is talking about now. So again, back to the Gemara. Tashma bitlu mevuto divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that yes, if you go to the basin anyways, even though you're not supposed to, it's a good bitl. But then comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Remember, the son of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Eina yachol lo l'hosif lo atana. You cannot change anything. If you send it off for the Shlichas, you cannot go to the basin, you can't cancel it, you can't add any tanaim. Nothing, everything's set in stone, whatever you sent off. Now the Gemara says, Imkeni, if that's the case, because Imkeni explains to Svara, Ma Koach Basin Yafe. Because if you're able to do this, what's the Koach of Basin Yafe? Meaning, what's the Koach of the Takana of Rogamliel? When Rogamliel made a Takana, how could he go to another basin and uproot his Takana that shows his Takana was worthless? So Gemara, V'ha Hachem Midirais Batel Get. Wait a second. Midirais, it's a, the get is Batel. If you go to Basin, it's a good get. It's a Batel get. Mishum Ma Koach Basin Kasharina and Eishes Ish La Alma. So I don't understand. So according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what happens is as follows: Reuven sends the get to his wife. A shliach. He sends the shliach to send the get. He now goes to the basin somewhere else. Says, you know what? That get I sent is going to be batel. Midirais, that's a good bittel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, it can't be. You're not able to be mevatel the get. So what happens is, we say it's a good get, even though Midiraisa we say it's not a good get. Midiraisa it's not a good get. Midiraisa it's a good bittel. The get's not a good get. Midiraisa. But Chum say, no, you have no right to be mevatel. It's still a good get. And we allow her to go ahead and get married. How could they say that? Really, Midiraisa, she's still an Eishes Ish, because I was mevatel the get. She's an Eishes Ish still. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, you can't be mevatel. It's still a good get. She goes free. She's a single person. They're being Oka Dabar Minatorah. That's the question of the Gemara. So Gemara says, no, this case is different here. Here, man de mekadesh adaita de rabban mekadesh. When a person gets married, they get married on the das with the consent of the chachamim. We want to get married in the framework and the rules of the chachamim. And therefore, since you want to do that, afkinu rabban the kedushin. The rabban have full control, they have full rights over the kedushin. So chachamim said, in this case, it's not a good kedushin. That's why they can be ochre this. Not because in general they're ochre davar min haTorah. Specifically in the world of Kedushin, they have full rights because everyone gets married with the das of their Rabbanim. That's why they have the ability to pull the strings of their Rabbanim, of the Kedushin. Some of the Ravina says to Ravashi, Hatinach the Kaddish Bekaspa. This Gemara appears several times in Shas. This makes sense if they get married with Kesef, because why? We said before, yesterday's daf, Hefker, Basin, Hefker. Chacham could come along and say, the money that you gave her is Hefker, it was never yours in the first place. So you gave them nothing. You gave stolen money, if you will. So they're able to do that. They could uproot retroactively the Kedusha Kesef, and it was never Kedusha in the first place. So what happens is, when the guy gives the get to his wife, and he goes ahead and mevatel into the bezdin, so it's not a good bittel. What do you mean? I mevatel the get. Why not? Because Chum and Essen have the rights to all Kedusha. They could say, your whole marriage to her is completely thrown out. You don't even need a get anymore, actually. Because when you got married, according to us, we're pulling that completely out from under you, and it's not even Kedusha in the first place. So since they have the ability, they have the full rights, they have full control of Kedusha, they're able to have control of whether the get's going to be bottle or not bottle. But that only makes sense by Kesef, because then Kesef, they could always employ the concept of Hefker based on Hefker. But Kaddish Bebiya, my. They could be Kaddish Bebiya. There, the Chum have no rights to the Bia. If they had a Bia, L'shem Kedushin, so it's L'shem Kedushin. So, Mike Lememar, Shavir Bun and the Bilasa Bilasness. They have rights. They could sanction that their Bia they had was a Bia of business, and not a Bia L'shem Kedushin. They have that right also, and therefore they can completely nullify the entire Kedushin, and therefore they have full control of the get being Mevato or not being Mevato. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tashma quotes another Braisa along the same discussion. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Shemati Shebeisin Makin Ve'onshin Shalom Minatorah. I heard that Beisin has a right to whip and to punishment, even though it's not sanctioned by the Torah, V'lo Lavro Devar Torah, El Le'aso Siag LeTorah. Simply to create a fence to protect something, they have full rights. Meaning, normally, Basin has to follow all the rules that the Torah lays out for them. But in the certain situations where they feel there's a real need for siyag, then they could go above that, and it's within their authority to implement punishment, even though it's not midiraisa. There was once a situation, a certain kid or person was riding a horse on Shabbos. It was the times of the Yavanim, which of course was very, very delicate times of religion. Yavanim were going against us. And v'hiviu lebezdin, and they brought him forward to Bezdin, v'saklu, and they stoned him. Which is, it's terrible, because he didn't do anything wrong. Shabbos, riding a horse on Shabbos, is not a good thing, but it's only a shvus. The reason why you can't ride a horse in Shabbos, says the Mishnah in Beta, is because you might pull a branch off the tree and start hitting the horse to make it move. But he didn't pull the branch off. So he didn't violate an Issa Deraisa, so why is he getting skila? Skila is only when there's an Issa Deraisa. Because the time of the Yavanim, we're so delicate that anything where the religion was really falling through, we had to say, Lechora at the same time. So, for that reason, they had to be very, very careful and strong. They had to give a very implement a very powerful punishment, give him skila, even though Midiraisi wasn't worthy of it.
Chanukah is first bite, I mean, first bite or second bite?
First.
First. And the second bite, I mean, is Yavanim too? Destroyed? Or Romaim?
The Romans, right?
Romans.
Yeah. So then the Gemara says, maybe we go here. Then Mishum Maisa Brad Mecha. There's another Maisa. Shetiach Beisha Tachas Atena. Doing inappropriate things under a fig tree. Beviu LeBezdin. They brought him to Bezdin V'Halku. And they gave him lashes. But he didn't do anything that's necessarily that deserved lashes. Midiraisa. Lo Bepnei Shiro LeKach. Not because they were worthy of this. Midiraisa. Elav Shashat Shich LeKach. They felt that there were a lot of breaches in the people keeping the Torah. LeKach. So LeKach. Therefore they had to implement these very severe punishments. So how are the Chacham able to do this? They can actively create things. This is a kumviase. They're actively doing things. They're implementing a punishment. They're giving lashes. They're giving skila when the Torah says not to. They're being okered over in the Torah. They're adding to the Torah. Says the Gemara, migdir milsa shani. When it comes to protecting the fence of the Torah, protecting Yiddishkeit, then they have the ability to do things. But just a stam case without such an impetus, then they would not be allowed to be kumviase and create things just like that. Only when it's protect the Torah are they permitted to. Then the Gemara says, back to the Mishnah. Now maybe we should do this Tosfos here now. Let's see. Right. Let's look at the Tosfos for a second. Tosfos di Ramascha Ligmar Mineh. We'll go back for a moment. And the Gemara at the end should go very, very quickly. So the Gemara, Tosfos writes Ligmar Mineh is referring to the case of Navi, by Eliyahu Navi. We listened to him because there was a different case. Because it says, Elav Tishmum, we have to listen to him. So why not say, just like we listen to a Navi, we should also have to listen to a Chacham when he says, go against the Torah.
Because the Torah didn't specify. In Navi, it specified, listen to the Navi.
Well, it did. So, but then the Gemara says, why not also listen to a Chacham? And we had the question, what do you mean? The Pasuk Elav Tishmum is referring to a Navi, not referring to a Chacham. How could you jump? That's Tosas about, exactly. So Tosas asks, now, Vim Tomar, Shiny Hasam. There, it's different by Eliyahu HaNavi. Dal Piyadibur Hayam Islam, but he was listening. He had Mamash Nevuah, so he was doing whatever Hashem told him to do, Lavor, to go against and to create these bamos. How could the Chachamim Shelo'al Piyadibur? How are they able to? How could there be such a havminah to think that the Chacham Shelo'al Piyadibur is able to also create things against the Torah? So Tosas writes, "Venira Dechaven Dal Piyadibur Shari Mishum Tzarech Shahu Adin Shelo'al Piyadibur Shari Ein Navi Rasha Lechadish Aver Miata." Says once we were to establish that Navi, even though it's Al-Piyadibur, but it's still a Navi, could create something new, then you would also say, even without Al-Piyadibur, Shlo Al-Piyadibur, you're also able to create something. Why? Because even a Navi, even though he's a Navi, is not allowed to create a Chiddush. He cannot create a mitzvah that doesn't exist. Even a Navi is warned about this. So once we say, in a special situation, a Navi is allowed to create something new, even though there's an Issa Deraisa, but he can do something because of a special situation, we would think even a Chacham, Shlo Al-Piyadibur also could create something new when there's a real need for this. And that's the Havamina.
What about, you know, Lova Shemaim here? The Torah was given to us, not to Malachim.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So, therefore, you know, some situations the Torah didn't specify, I believe so.
What
therefore,
mean?
We can, the Chachamim, can decide, make decisions.
Right. So they can make decisions, but they can't go make a decision against the Torah, though. If it means going against the Pasuk, or removing a Pasuk, that they can't do. Other than that, Lo B'Shmaimi, what we say is right, we override a Navi, not we, but the Chacham override a Navi. Navi has a Nevuah. I heard this, I heard a Basco. I don't care. Lo b'shamayim, we make decisions here. So in that respect, as probably the Tanakh speaks about, the Chum have a greater koach than that of an Nevi'im.
It does.
Right. We don't pass in halacha based on Urim Ratumim. We don't pass in halacha based on Nevuah. We don't pass in halacha based on Baskol. It's whatever we decide down here. So, okay. Let's go by to now. The Gemara, the two dots says, Lo zev zeh mitamein lo. So back to the Mishnah from a few days ago, where the woman was told by Neid Echad, her husband died, she gets remarried, and their first husband shows up to the door. So then they both husbands, if they were to be kohanim, neither one would be metame to her. The Gemara explains, Minol, and how do we know this to be true? The pasuk says in the Parshas Emor, Kim l'sheira karve lav. The whole pasuk is that but before this is talking about when a kohen is allowed to become tumas meis. So one of the cases are Kim l'sheira karve lav, which is a reference to Amar Mar sheira zu ishto, to his wife. He can be metame to his wife. It also, another pasuk tells us, the husband should be metame. Sounds like a husband shouldn't be metame to his wife. There's a stirim sukim. Should he or should he not? So, yesh baal shem metame, v'yesh baal shem metame. No. Sometimes he's supposed to be metame to his wife, and sometimes he's not supposed to be metame to his wife. What's the difference? Okay, and how is this so? Metame hu li'isho kishay ravein, metame li'isho, so very simple. When his wife is someone who's kasher to him, so he's supposed to be metame, but he's not kasher to him, like the case of our Mishnah, where she is an eshish ish, who's mezane, and he's no longer kasher to her, then he may not be metame to her. Then the Mishnah also told us, lo zev zev zochin b'mitziyasa. Neither husband, the first nor the second, are able to be zochin any mitziyas, any findings that she gets, they do not get. Normally the findings go to her husband. In this situation, neither husband gets the rights to it. Time amai amar abana mitzias ishla baila. What was the reason why, in general, we said that a woman's mitzios go to her husband? Ki heichid lo tevi le eva hachanami tevi. So the reason why, in general, is we don't want there to be eva. We don't want the husband saying, wait a second, what do you have there? What do you find? And it created all these fighting. So we said anything she finds goes right to the husband. There's no eva, no fighting. But here, hacha tevi le eva. We want there to be eva. We want them to get divorced. So we try to create a situation where there's going to be eva. Keep the mitzvahs to yourself. It's all yours. The husband's going to get upset and jealous. Oh, I'm going to divorce you. That we want to promote such a divorce. Then the Gemara says, "Ma'isi adel." All her ma'isi adel, all the things that she does, her work, her parnasa that she makes on her own, normally goes to the husband. In this situation, she keeps it. So Gemara explains again, "Time amai amar rabbanan ma'isi adel lebaila." Why, in general, did the woman's parnasa go straight to her husband? The ka'ach l'mizona, because she's being fed. He's feeding her parnasa, so as a replacement, she works. So that's how the back and forth goes. But here, came into mizona lesley ma'isi adel lav didei. Since she's not getting fed by him, she doesn't get mizonas from him, so too she doesn't have to pay him back the ma'isi adel. They go hand in hand. And then finally, v'lo mefer nederel, normally the pasuk tells us that a husband's able to be mefer nedarim. If she makes a neder, he's allowed to be mefer within the first 24 hours. Say that neder's not a good neder. So why not here? Time amai amar b'chmana ba mefer. What's the reason? What's the svar behind the pasuk that a husband allowed to be mefer nedarim? Kidei shelo tizgane. So she shouldn't be discussing. He doesn't want, let's say his wife makes a neder, I'm not going to wear makeup anymore. I'm not going to dress pretty anymore. I'm not going to wash clothing. I'm not going to do any of these things anymore. It's going to make her disgusting in his eyes if she has all of these restrictions. So we don't want her to be disgusting in general. But hacha tiskana v'tiskana, we want her to be disgusting in this case. Let her make all the nedarim that she wants, be the biggest tzaddikis in the world, and let her separate from him as much as possible. That's going to be fantastic because we really want to promote a divorce in this situation. Okay, I think that will call it a day. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.